municipal stormwater permit for Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the Sonoma County Water Agency. Although no formal action will be taken on this item today, the board may provide guidance to staff on modifications for the draft permit prior to adoption consideration in October. This item has been properly noticed. The order of presentation will be as follows. First, staff presentation. Second, co-permittees. Third, comments by government agencies. Fourth, comments by interested parties. Five, comments and questions by Regional Water Board members. Now, will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. We'll begin with staff presentation. Mona. I have a paper in front of me in terms of time allotments. We'll see how we do, basically. But staff have said they'd be done in 25, so just.
I'll try not to bore you. And if I mess up, it's probably the microphone's fault. It's new, you know. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm Mona Doherty, an engineer with your staff. We're here today to discuss the municipal stormwater permit for Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the Sonoma County Water Agency, specifically the second draft of the permit to get direction from the board prior to adoption consideration in October. The municipal stormwater program is known as the MS4 program, which stands for Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. These permits are adopted at direction of EPA with our in-lieu authority. They are regulated point source discharges, and co-permittees are required to meet water quality standards. These permits achieve compliance using either effluent limits or best management practices, and if BMPs are used, they're not subject to mandatory minimum penalties. Additionally, with BMPs, measurable goals are required. Measurable goals are concrete, verifiable tasks that the co-permittees to complete to show program implementation. The use of BMPs allows the co-permittees an iterative process to achieve compliance with water quality standards. An important concept of the MS4 program is assessment and continual improvement. These programs are not static, but are intended to evolve as stormwater knowledge increases and more effective BMPs are established. These are some requirements in MS4 permits and an example measurable goals. For legal authority, public information and participation, industrial and commercial oversight, new development requirements, construction oversight, municipal operations and public activities, illicit discharge and connection elimination, and monitoring and reporting. These are the major elements included in the stormwater program. In November 2007, US EPA contractors inspected Santa Rosa's stormwater program. These inspection reports are included in your agenda package and are available on our website. And these are some of the inspection results. They recommended adoption of minimum BMPs and standards to help inspectors and staff enforce stormwater ordinances and perform inspections. They noted deficiencies in public and private construction oversight, including a discharge at a construction site without BMPs, and they noted that the city did not provide a timely response or enforcement on site. They also found deficiencies in municipal operations, and they recommended improvement in the new development program. This is a BMP failure they noted at one construction site. This is another construction site, and they found that the site didn't have BMPs and had a discharge to the storm drain. In November 2007, EPA also inspected Sonoma County and the Water Agency stormwater program, and these are some of the inspection results. They also recommended adoption of minimum BMPs and standards to help inspectors and staff enforce stormwater ordinances. They found deficiencies in the public and private construction program, in the storm drain operation and maintenance program, and municipal operations. EPA noted deficiencies in the illicit discharge and connection elimination program, and they recommended that the county map the MS4, perform outfall monitoring, and improve spill reporting. Here they found stockpiles placed in the flow line of drainage to the MS4, and they noted fine sediment in the storm drain. In 1995, the Regional Board adopted a TMDL for the Laguna, and it was approved by EPA. This was an early TMDL, and the process wasn't established as it is today, and it was not included in the Basin Plan. Since the TMDL was adopted, the Laguna has been listed for additional impairments. The TMDL included wasteload allocations for urban runoff for total nitrogen and ammonia, and identified the MS4 permit as an implementation tool. We've included the wasteload allocations in the second draft permit, but not as enforceable effluent limits. EPA commented that the wasteload allocation should be enforceable, but through discussions, we've come to agreement that because the TMDL did not include a firm compliance date, our BMP approach with outfall monitoring is sufficient to implement the TMDL. Oh, sorry. The co-permittees requested removal of the TMDL or additional language clarifying that the wasteload allocations are not enforceable effluent limits. And we feel that further discussion with EPA and the co-permittees may be needed to clarify the permit on these issues. The draft permit proposes BMPs and outfall monitoring to implement the TMDL, and our TMDL staff continues to move forward on an updated Laguna TMDL, and we've included a permit reopener if needed. Dry weather non-stormwater flows, like over-irrigation, can impact receiving waters, especially during low-flow periods. These flows promote invasive vegetation growth and provide habitat for vectors. The draft permit requires BMPs to eliminate or reduce these flows. The Laguna TMDL recognizes these impacts from these flows and sets a goal of zero discharge during the dry season. The permit will implement the low-threat discharge basin plan amendment if adopted tomorrow, since you will be hearing it. It's difficult to estimate costs of MS4 programs, but we reviewed some studies on this issue. The EPA estimates that MS4 programs cost around $9 annually per household. The LA Regional Board estimates $12.50. The State Water Board estimates a range of $18 to $46 annually per household. And the upper range is for the Encinitas program, which is considered a Cadillac program and one of the best in the state due to a court consent decree. Another issue to consider is that many costs are not due to MS4 permits alone. Restaurants would still be inspected for health, catch basins would be cleaned out to prevent flooding, even if the MS4 permit didn't include these requirements. Also, the analysis must recognize the costs of not treating stormwater. Polluted stormwater in higher flows may result in impacts to drinking water, flooding, groundwater depletion, loss of recreation and tourism, loss of property values, impacts to endangered species, and habitat degradation. Staff is not required to perform an economic analysis by law, but we're more than willing to consider detailed and substantiated information submitted by the co-permittees. Last week, we sent them a letter requesting this information. We asked for additional detailed information on estimated costs, as only insufficient information has been submitted to date. We think there are inaccurate interpretations of permit requirements that could also reduce estimated cost with some clarification. They've requested that we modify the permit to reduce costs, but without adequate information on the estimated costs, we can't review that request. We also requested cost estimates annually per household so that we can compare them to other state and national programs. In March 1997, the board adopted the first MS4 permit for the co-permittees. In June 2003, the board renewed this permit. In December 2007, the co-permittees submitted a stormwater management plan, which is the application for permit renewal. We met with them to discuss measurable goals prior to the submittal of the stormwater management plan, but the application did not include all the measurable goals we discussed, and staff added some to the draft permit to protect water quality. In September 2008, we released the first draft permit for a 43-day comment period. We received 159 comment letters. Between the release of the first and second draft permit, staff met with interested parties over 25 times, 17 times with the co-permittees. And in May 2009, we released the second draft permit for a 45-day comment period. And we received 18 comment letters. While the co-permittees have improved their stormwater programs, additional improvements are needed. Our intrepid interns went out one day last week and took some photos of stormwater issues in the permit area. This photo shows non-stormwater discharges from these outfalls estimated at over 15 gallons per minute. This is dumpster leachate. These photos show the discharge from cleaning out a porta potty into a storm drain. This shows degraded construction BMPs introducing pollutants. a non-stormwater discharge, and a storm drying inlet stencil. The second draft permit contains measurable goals to implement the public information and participation requirements, such as school outreach, stenciling storm drains, and an effectiveness evaluation to ensure that the program and BMPs are both useful and cost-effective. To implement the requirements to eliminate illicit discharges and connections, the second draft permit includes measurable goals for spill response, complaint tracking, and while the permit recommends mapping the storm drain system, it's not required, and the co-permittees can document the location of permitted connections through reviewing and tracking their permits. This will provide the public with transparent tracking and follow-up for complaints. The second draft requires stormwater treatment. The second draft provides inspection tools to promote effective inspections and focuses on nutrient control. The intent of this program is to provide criteria for inspectors to enforce their ordinances rather than to put new requirements on businesses. The second draft permit requires stormwater treatment for new development. We propose to keep the 1 acre of new impervious surface threshold for requiring stormwater treatment controls for residential projects that was in the previous permit, but we do propose to lower the size threshold for new industrial and commercial projects to 10,000 square feet to protect impaired waters from discharges of new pollutants. The guidance manual for stormwater controls also stresses conserving natural areas, such as riparian wetlands, that provide existing flood attenuation and water quality enhancement. The draft permit contains requirements to prioritize low-impact development. LID reduces flooding, promotes groundwater recharge, treats pollutants, reduces vectors, and is cost-effective. The Water Agency has a draft LID manual that would meet the LID requirements in the draft permit. Santa Rosa and Sonoma County are currently working with us to complete demonstration LID retrofit projects with funding from Caltrans. And EPA and others commented on the second draft, asking for more enforceable performance standards for LID included in the draft permit, and we're still evaluating this request. Here are some examples of local LID BMPs, and I think we've learned both from the successes and the failures of some of these projects. Hydro modification is both a water quality and a water supply issue. The draft permit contains requirements for interim criteria and a final plan for hydro modification control. Staff proposes a 3-year time extension to complete the final plan in the second draft permit. The second draft permit proposes inspection tools consistent with EPA guidance for more effective inspections and includes enhanced BMPs for wet weather grading. Staff proposes BMPs to reduce the discharge of pollutants from public activities such as road maintenance in the draft permit. The draft permit references established industry standard BMP handbooks or their equivalent to provide guidance on BMP selection, installation, and maintenance. Previous permits have allowed the co-permittees to choose their own monitoring program, and monitoring was performed. But the data collection does not provide enough information to assess trends in water quality and compliance with the permit or water quality standards. For the first time, staff has proposed a monitoring program that includes outfall monitoring, and this will improve effectiveness. After release of the first draft comments, we received 159 comment letters. Among these comments are some statewide issues such as unfunded mandates. And the fact sheet describes why the permit does not contain unfunded mandates, but there also is a statewide commission that will be addressing this issue. Another statewide issue are specific BMPs in permits. We received comments that the permit is too prescriptive, as have other recently adopted or proposed MS4 permits. The specificity in the draft permit is consistent with EPA guidance and is warranted because the permit relies on BMPs rather than effluent limits. After issuance of the first draft permit, we held 25 meetings with interested parties, 17 meetings with the co-permittees, and we made over 132 changes at the request of the co-permittees. One of the biggest issues and one of the things we changed was the permit boundary. In the first draft, we proposed expanding the existing boundary to include all of Sonoma County in our jurisdiction with reduced tasks in rural areas. We propose this expansion to protect impaired waters, provide consistent requirements and a level playing field, protect endangered species and coastal recreation. Based on the county's comments that this change was too costly, we propose in the second draft to retain the existing permit boundary that includes the Laguna and Mark West watersheds, as well as the Grayton area and areas outside Healdsburg. We also propose to implement new developments, spill response, and public activities programs countywide under a waiver program. And we've been discussing this with the county for several months, and we think we're close to an agreement on a waiver program that we can bring back to you for your future consideration. This table shows example changes that were made between the first and second draft permit, such as we reduced the measurable goals to provide stormwater information to school kids from 25% annually to 20% annually. And since the permit boundary is smaller, the number of kids this represents is much smaller. Our understanding is that through existing outreach as well as some small additions, this can be met. We also propose to increase the threshold for requiring post-construction stormwater BMPs from 5,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet of new impervious surface. These are some additional changes we made between the first and second draft permit. These tables are also included behind the PowerPoint, so anybody who has a printout of the PowerPoints can look at them in more detail. In preparing the second draft permit, we reviewed other recently adopted or proposed MS4 permits to see how we compare and to verify the state board's guidance for consistency in permits. And while some older permits in the state are less stringent than our draft permit, we found that we are proposing a permit consistent with recent permits and, if anything, more lenient. Our size threshold for post-construction BMPs is the same as the San Francisco Regional Permit, and this will provide regulatory certainty for developers and contractors in the Bay Area. The Ventura, Lunhaughton, Orange County North, and South all have more stringent new development requirements. We have not proposed effluent limits, while the Ventura, Lunhaughton, Orange County North, and South do include them. We have not proposed municipal action levels like the Orange County South permit does. And we are including outfall monitoring, which is consistent with these other permits. We received 18 comment letters on the second draft, and while we haven't had adequate time to fully absorb and analyze them, I'd like to discuss some of them with you. We believe that there are some misunderstandings of permit requirements reflected in the comments, and we're planning to make clarifications to the draft permit. Many of the comments we received are similar to those in the first draft, such as unfunded mandates and prescriptive BMPs. We received further comments on costs, and we have asked for additional information to evaluate these comments. We did receive new comments on the Laguna TMDL, and we're more than happy to continue our discussions with EPA and the co-permittees to resolve some of these issues. We received new comments objecting to our proposal not to expand the existing permit boundary. We received new comments on non-stormwater discharges asking us to prohibit them completely in the dry season. We received comments requesting we include effluent limits in the draft permit. And we received comments from EPA and others about making performance standards for LID more stringent and enforceable, and we need to analyze this more for technical issues. In conclusion, we believe the draft permit contains reasonable and achievable measurable goals, is needed to protect our impaired waters, and is consistent with other California MS4 permits. We're open to guidance from the board on the draft permit prior to bringing it back to you for consideration, such as that are there additional analyses or discussions that you'd like us to pursue. In reviewing the comments, it's clear that there are still permit language that has been misinterpreted, and we intend to address this. We propose to move forward by continuing to assess the comments on the second draft, and we can work with the co-permittees and interested parties to clarify permit requirements. Thank you, and are there any questions?
Thank you, Mona. Board member questions? I have one in terms of the 10,000 square foot number.
Uh-huh.
It was 5,000 under the first draft. What was it before the first draft?
In the previous permit, that is our existing permit, is an acre. And so in the first draft of this new permit, we proposed 5,000 square feet, and in the second draft, we proposed 10,000 square feet.
And what projects does that cover?
We left it as an acre for residential projects. So like if a single family homeowner wants to put in a long driveway or something like that, we left the 1 acre threshold for them. But if a commercial parking lot, industrial, that type of project, we propose to go to 10,000 square feet.
And what's required by that requirement?
If they meet that threshold for new impervious surfaces, they'll be required to implement post-construction stormwater treatment control, such as LID, and these is sometimes typically known as SUSUMP, which is the guidance manual for how to implement this.
Just to be clear, the the 1 acre or 5,000 foot requirement is the area to be either disturbed or created for impervious surfaces, not the area that the property owner has.
Exactly, a new impervious surface or if there's a redevelopment project.
Sure.
Mr. Corbin.
I noticed, if I understood you correctly, the toxicity reduction evaluation was dropped. Why was that?
Well, I had when I was reviewing permits from other regions, I had seen it in there, and I had put it in the first draft. But through our discussions with some of the other regions that have put it in there, and our discussion with the co-permittees, we thought that it wasn't the most important aspect of the monitoring program. We had included in the monitoring program, and we really feel that there's additional. This is, you know, a tough time economically, and we felt that we had to choose what we think is most important. And we thought that monitoring outfalls was more important than the toxicity reduction.
And then I wanted to play back. I saw you covered in your staff report. I heard a little different, but. Can you go through that if there is not a compliance state on the effluent limit, you can substitute in a BMP? That seemed a little unusual. And
we may need to have our have John or our legal staff come in on this one. This is a recent issue that has come up, and we have been in discussing with EPA and EPA's policy, and they can also, they're here, so they can speak for themselves as well, but their policy is that waste load allocations do need to be enforceable effluent limits. This is an older TMDL, and it's not written or as easy to interpret as modern-day TMDLs. So with talking to them and talking about the new BMPs we wanted to implement and the new outfall monitoring that's never been done before, and because it doesn't have a firm compliance date, we feel and we think they agree with us that the BMPs and outfall monitoring is adequate to implement the TMDL at this time. Of course, we do have the permit reopener. Our staff is working on a new TMDL, which will be more modern, have effluent limits, or have waste load allocations that will be much easier to transfer into effluent limits. So we're proposing to keep the BMPs right now, and if we need to reopen for the new TMDL, we can do that as well.
And one last question. Do you believe you have authority to set dates even though they weren't set in the TMDL if that's the path you'd wanted to go? I realize you chose another path.
I feel like I'm not, I don't know
okay.
enough about
Thank
TMDLs
you. Sorry
to answer
sorry
that.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Norn.
I want to thank you for your testimony today. A couple questions. This is a BMP-based program. And with that, we're trying to get, or the permittees are trying to get to maximum extent practical on, and that wiggly definition of maximum extent practical, which it seems to me is wiggly. Mm-hmm. And cost is, I'm sure, an issue about how do you get there given your resources and your allocation and your urban footprints and everything within that. I read a statement, and in all this paperwork, I can't remember where it was, is that, and I believe it's in your staff report portion of this, is that there's a statement that says that the implementation of this permit gets to MEP. Is that in fact correct? Is that the view of staff?
That's our intent, and the iterative. We feel, you know, as you mentioned, MEP is a partially subjective performance standard. So we feel that this permit does represent MEP, and that will be up to you guys to decide.
But MEP is not something that is it's a goal, but I mean it's not something with absent effluent limits here. It is something it is subjective, and it's subjective from the regulator side, not the permittee side, correct?
Well, I think in the stormwater management plan, the application for the permit renewal, how the process works is that the co-permittees submit their plan to meet MEP. And then it's staff's job to evaluate that and see if we agree, see if we think there's additional tasks that are needed. And we did. So we added some tasks to the permit. And then the process of adoption will kind of more firmly define MEP.
Okay. And as far as that goes, too, there's a statement that, and again, it's I think it's in the staff report beginning portion of the package here, is that that the MS4 permit and the implementation of this permit in its current form is an early implementation of a TMDL program.
Well, in adopting and proposing the draft permit, we do need to consider the impaired waters that the co-permittees will discharge to. So we did evaluate that. We included new BMPs for nutrient and sediment control, which are issues within the watersheds that the co-permittees discharge to.
And within that, again, TMDL for these water bodies that are within this area of this MS4 permit, they come up in this permit term? This is a five-year permit, correct? So we expect that those TMDLs will at least be formulated and perhaps even finished within this permit term?
Our staff is currently working on it, and actually I talk with them quite a bit. We do talk about how the TMDL and the permit in the future will work together. But and they expect to have it done within this permit term. Of course, you know, TMDLs are complicated, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, and within would staff expect that then this permit would further change if a TMDL came? I know that's asking to look into a glass ball here, but at the same time, would there be an expectation to reopen this permit perhaps at that time, or can you see that far out?
EPA in their comments did express an expectation that we would reopen the permit to address any new TMDLs. So we did include a reopener, and then we'll have to, when any TMDLs are finished, we'll have to evaluate them and see if the permit needs to be reopened.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Massey.
Thank you. First of all, let me compliment you, Mona, on the fact that you have obviously spent an awful lot of time with this, and you got through it in less than 25 minutes. That was pretty cool. In your PowerPoint presentation, you said that there were several people that have not responded in terms of cost. Where are we now in terms of who has responded, who has not responded, and in terms of the additional cost on this?
In the comments on the second draft, we received some limited cost information. And that's why we sent the letter last week, because it wasn't information that we could really use to evaluate the costs. And we do think that some of the cost estimates are based on a need for clarification of permit requirements. We didn't intend some of these requirements to be interpreted the way they have been with some very large costs. So I would actually say that from the co-permittees, none of the co-permittees have submitted to date, and they may have, you know, they may have some cost estimates for you right now, but no, they have not submitted information to date that I can use. So we do need additional information, and we need enough detail to really be able to evaluate it. And to compare it to other state and national programs, having the data broken down into annually per household cost would be helpful, so that we can compare it to other programs.
But we're still pretty convinced, at least until somebody shows us otherwise, that you're going to prevent flooding and you're going to prevent that sort of stuff. So do we reasonably, I guess I'm saying your conclusion is that we don't include those costs as part of the MS4, because restaurants would have been inspected, floods would have been prevented, and so those are not part of the MS4 cost.
Well, that adds to that; those issues add to the difficulty of evaluating the cost. And it is staff's position that that some tasks that would be done even without the MS4 permit should not be completely charged the MS4 permit. So, if a restaurant inspection, if it's done for health, for grease to the sewer line, and then a portion of that is done for the stormwater, staff's position is that the entire restaurant inspection should not be charged to the MS4 permit.
Thank you.
We have in front of us a map. Is this the permit boundary being recommended by staff? Is that?
I apologize for this. This is actually, this morning we were trying to find a permit boundary for you guys to give you some additional information. And after I found that, and Terry had already included in your packages, I found a better one. So that one generally gets at the existing permit boundary. However, it does not include the areas around Grayton and the areas around Healdsburg. And if you also see attached is an EPA map of urbanization areas. So that kind of gives you the breakdown of EPA's determinations of where MS4 permits are needed.
So this, the 2000 census urbanized area map would be then adding areas that hadn't been under the current permit? Or
no, this is information on the existing permit boundary that we are proposing to continue in the second draft. So this is the existing permit boundary. We're proposing to continue the same permit boundary. I thought I was going to tell you something else. I apologize. It went out of my head.
Mona, if you could make that map available for the file, too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have copies of it. I don't think anyone else does.
Oh, really? Okay. The one of the maps, just for information, one of the maps is the EPA urbanization map. The other one, or I think it's a census urbanization map. The other one is actually from the stormwater management plan that the co-permittees submitted. So they have seen it since they submitted it to us.
And if I may, I've struggled to see, understand what water is. I think I understand what stormwater is. I think I understand what non-stormwater is, but if you have stormwater and non-stormwater, is there anything else? Or does that cover everything?
Groundwater? Are you talking about surface water runoff? But there is groundwater. There are other types of waters. I'm sorry, I don't think I fully understand your question.
Well, I'm just trying to sort out when sometimes the trying to get to what do we mean by non-stormwater and when it's a problem, and then it's not clear in my brain as to what is when it becomes stormwater and when it stops being stormwater and when it becomes non-stormwater.
I can discuss that a little bit. So stormwater is the runoff from either impervious or pervious surfaces that's resulted to a rain event, while non-stormwater discharges can range from discharges of concrete waste that go into the storm drain, over irrigation. There's a lot of people here today who will discuss their concerns with recycled water use because of this issue of runoff. So the non-stormwater discharges occur a lot in the dry season. They also can occur in the wet season, like if somebody was to pour paint down a storm drain or something like that. But when I'm talking about these issues, I mean the discharges that go into the MS4 system and then are then discharged to receiving waters of the United States.
And do we have a sense of what happens in-house in terms of its impact on staff resources and times and under the new permit? Do you anticipate it makes more work or the same work?
Well, we already are expending quite a bit of staff time on this permit, getting it adopted, but and doing outreach with the public. And we intend to continue to do a lot of outreach and training. I think we do have funding for a municipal stormwater position, and we're intended to implement the permit with that position. There are some cases in the permit that I think that it may save us staff time. And one is, as you guys are going to hear tomorrow, about the low-threat permit. Some projects that could be done under individual coverage of the low-threat permit, if the co-permittees want to seek coverage under the low-threat discharge basin plan amendment, they can submit a BMP plan to us. And if we prove it, they could then do those types of discharges under the MS4 permit rather than seeking individual coverage under the low-threat permit. So it may save some staff time there.
And if they come forward with a low-threat application, where does that get attached, or how does that hook back into the MS4 permit? What section?
If they seek to get coverage under the low threat permit, then they would do that outside of the MS4 permit, and it wouldn't really interact. So if they want to say they want to discharge something from like a water distribution system under the MS4 permit, they would then discharge it to a storm drain with the BMPs. If they want to discharge it directly to receiving waters under the low threat permit, they would then have the BMPs, and they would not discharge it to the storm drain that the co-permittees operate, but they would discharge it directly to waters of the United States.
I'm sorry, but that didn't make a bit of sense to me.
Okay, let me try again. Okay. So in some cases, the low threat permit and the stormwater permits in some cases are mutually exclusive. If they choose to go under the MS4 permit, they do not need to get coverage under the low threat permit. If they choose to go under the low threat permit, they do not. It does not impact. It will not be included under the MS4 permit. Does that help?
They would submit, as I heard you say it, they'd have a submit a BMP under the MS4, and they could get coverage that way.
If they choose to, they can also just. They can choose to prohibit these types of discharges to their MS4 if they would choose to do that instead. So this gives them the flexibility to decide if they want to allow these types of discharges to their MS4 and make sure that once we approve their BMP plan, it would be their responsibility to make sure that any discharges would comply with the BMP plan.
And I've seen that in comments and discussion about prohibiting their... If you have an MS4, if you have a stormwater system, it should only take stormwater.
That is the goal. The low-threat basin plan amendment is trying to address the fact that these kinds of discharges do occur, so we are trying to eliminate or minimize them to the best extent we can through the use of BMPs and try to improve water quality, since these discharges, while they might... They are certainly not desirable, are ongoing. And we think the permit will actually provide a BMP program that currently doesn't exist. So our expectation is that it would make the situation better.
Make it better
for water quality.
It would reduce
the non-stormwater flows that are currently occurring. That is our expectation, our intent with the permit.
And do we have any data on that? I mean, you mentioned that there was a lack of data to indicate trends, but do we have? And you had one slide showing 15 gallons a minute in a.
That was just our staff estimate. Yeah,
I mean. Do we have a sense of how much water is flowing in the stormwater system today, somewhere at the bottom end of the system?
I would actually say that right now we do not. One of the permit does require what we're calling visual monitoring of storm drain outfalls. And our intent there is that if, say a staff person from one of the co-permittees is out and about doing their business, maybe they're doing some kind of road maintenance, or they're doing some kind of storm drain outfall inspection, the permit now requires them to note if they see non-stormwater flows coming out of a storm drain, and in an attempt to try to quantify this issue, which to date we have not quantified.
And I'll take you back to your slide presentation or PowerPoint. The six photos you showed of problems that are out there, are those problems ones that we're unable to address under the current permit, and they would be addressed under the new permit, or we're not sure under the new permit they'd be addressed either?
Well, I think that the new permit requires more measurable goals, and I think the co-permittees are doing things to address these problems. And I didn't mean to, by those slides, to say that, you know, that we also found lots of photos of things that were done properly. So I think the new permit will improve things. I think these are being addressed in now, but the new permit is, the intent is to improve the way they're handled and to, especially targeting non-stormwater flows, especially try to decrease those through the use of BMPs. And that's a program element in the current permit that isn't expanded as much as it needs to be to comply with the basin plan. Or maybe I should say it isn't robust enough to comply with the basin plan as it is.
Jeff?
Well, it seems that the examples that you gave there, and to get to Chairman Anderson's question in terms of do we have data that can support this non-stormwater runoff that we're having. I mean, these examples that have been shown are so vast and numerous, it seems daunting, if not even impossible, to actually quantify what volume of discharge that we're having or what percentage is contributing, that's entering our MS4 system, what percent is stormwater, what percent is non-stormwater, recognizing that there is a problem and that there are ways via BMPs that we can try to help reduce this loading, that it seems that that's the goal, that one of the primary goals of this program is through the BMP program and it being an iterative program to where we can put measures in place to address these types of discharges, that we can set performance goals to evaluate whether, you know, are we actually reducing these types of things or not, to be able, I think, to go out and monitor something like this and actually try to quantify it. It just seems almost insurmountable. We'd almost have to triple our staff load and put them specifically on this task to go try and do something like that. So, and Mona, please hop in if I don't quite have the angle right. But.
Oh, I think you're correct.
Okay.
The permit also does require, and this will not, you know, there, we actually don't know how many outfalls there are. So that would be a real constraint in completely quantifying the issue. However, the permit does require monitoring at 6 outfalls. So at least at those outfalls, we could over time assess whether non-stormwater flows are decreasing.
Chair.
Mr. Dunker.
At the end of the dry season, aren't you more likely to have loaded into the system non-stormwater type stuff as opposed after the initial storm where it's all mm-hmm. been washed out? So that would be an important time to monitor, I would imagine.
Yeah, and actually, a lot of programs do focus, and our co-permittees have done some first flush monitoring. That's what it's called, first flush. So the idea that a lot of the pollutants are building up on the impervious surfaces through the dry season, and then the first storm comes, and that discharge from the impervious surface is more concentrated. It will be more concentrated than subsequent storms.
Yeah, it'll bring us your largest numbers.
Mm-hmm.
On the low-impact development, how much of that's currently being done and how much new would be required?
Well, the SUSUMP is in place and provides an opportunity to do this. One of the comments that the EPA contractors made about the SUSUMP, which is, Standard Urban Stormwater Management Plan. It's the implementation tool for these new development requirements. One thing they recommended about the SUSUMP as it is that they didn't believe that it provided enough prioritization of BMPs. It provided so much flexibility for somebody who was coming in that it didn't really prioritize BMPs to treat pollutants of concern. So to treat either pollutants that we have impaired waters for, or if it's like a gas station, we want to make sure that you have a BMP that will treat hydrocarbons. So they really recommended that we add a prioritization system. And in the permit, we tried to do that, although I already found something I'd like to clarify a little bit. But so we've asked them, the permittees, through our regular monthly meetings to start prioritizing LID, and we're requiring it for the projects that we oversee as well. But if the permit was to go into effect, it would have a more strict prioritization process that they would have to follow, and they would have to use LID unless they could show that it wasn't appropriate for the site or the project.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And they asked maybe more questions than normal, but we're trying to lay out it's a big issue, and appreciate staff's response. We'll next go to permittees. As soon as I see the cards coming, why don't we just call up all the permittees to the table?
or we'll go this way. The city of Santa Rosa wants to begin.
We've decided ahead of time that the city would speak first, and then the water agency, and then Sonoma County. So I'd like to introduce Miles.